It also has identifying information, familiar items such as the social security number, date of birth, mother's maiden name, and sometimes even a driver's license number. Very handy to a social engineer.
Sure thing. What's code C?
Another teller is using my computer right now, the caller said. But I just used B&E, I remember those. Ask me one of those.
Okay, what's E?
E is 9697. A few minutes later, Walter faxed the SIG card as requested. Donna places caller.
Hi, this is Mr. Anselmo. How can I help you today?
What's that 800 number I'm supposed to call when I want to see if a deposit has been credited yet?
You're a customer of the bank?
Yes, and I haven't used the number in a while, and now I don't know where I wrote it down.
The number is 800-555-8600.
Okay, thanks. Vince Capelli's tale. The son of a Spokane street cop, Vince knew from an early age that he wasn't going to spend his life slaving long hours and risking his neck for minimum wage. His two main goals in life became getting out of Spokane and going into business for himself. The laughter of his homies all through high school only fired him up all the more. They thought it was hilarious that he was so busted on starting his own business, but had no idea what business it might be. Secretly, Vince knew they were right. The only thing he was good at was playing catcher on the high school baseball team, but not good enough to capture a college scholarship. No way good enough for professional baseball. So what business was he going to be able to start? One thing the guys in Vince's group never quite figured out. Anything one of them had, a new switchblade knife, a nifty pair of warm gloves, a sexy new girlfriend, if Vince admired it, before long the item was his. He didn't steal it, or sneak behind anybody's back, he didn't have to. The guy who had it would give it up willingly, and then wonder afterward how it had happened. Even asking Vince wouldn't have gotten you anywhere. He didn't know himself. People just seemed to let him have whatever he wanted. Vince Capelli was a social engineer from an early age, even though he had never heard the term. His friends stopped laughing once they all had high school diplomas in hand. While the others slogged around town looking for jobs where you didn't have to say, "Do you want fries with that?" Vince's dad sent him off to talk to an old cop pal who had left the force to start his own private investigation business in San Francisco. He quickly spotted Vince's talent for the work and took him on. That was 6 years ago. He hated the part about getting the goods on unfaithful spouses, which involved achingly dull hours of sitting and watching, but felt continually challenged by assignments to dig up asset information for attorneys trying to figure out if some miserable stiff was rich enough to be worth suing. These assignments gave him plenty of chances to use his wits. Like the time he had to look into the bank accounts of a guy named Joe Markowitz. Joe had maybe worked a shady deal on a one-time friend of his. Which friend now wanted to know if he sued, was Markowitz flush enough that the friend might get some of his money back? Vince's first step would be to find out at least one, but preferably two, of the bank's security codes for the day. That sounds like a nearly impossible challenge. What on earth would induce a bank employee to knock a chink in his own security system? Ask yourself, if you wanted to do this, would you have any idea of how to go about it? For people like Vince, it's too easy. People trust you if you know the inside lingo of their job and their company. It's like showing you belong to their inner circle. It's like a secret handshake. I didn't need much of that for a job like this. Definitely not brain surgery. All's I needed to get started was a branch number. When I dialed the Beacon Street office in Buffalo, the guy that answered sounded like a teller. "This is Tim Ackerman," I said. Any name would do. He wasn't going to write it down. "What's the branch number there?" "The phone number or the branch number?" he wanted to know, which was pretty stupid because I had just dialed the phone number, hadn't I?
Branch number.
3182, he said. Just like that. No, what do you want to know for, or anything?
'Cause it's not sensitive information. It's written on just about every piece of paper they use.
Step 2. Call the branch where my target did his banking, get the name of one of their people, and find out when the person would be out for lunch.
Angela. Leaves at 12:30.
So far, so good.
Step 3. Call back to the same branch during Angela's lunch break. Say I'm calling from branch number such and such in Boston. Angela needs this information faxed. Give me a code for the day.
This is the tricky part. It's where the rubber meets the road.
If I was making up a test to be a social engineer, I'd put something like this on it, where your victim gets suspicious for good reason, and you still stick in there until you break him down and get the information you need. You can't do that by reciting lines from a script or learning a routine. You gotta be able to read your victim, catch his mood, play him like landing a fish where you let out a little line and reel in, let out and reel in, until you get him in the net and flop him into the boat, splat.
So I landed him and had one of the codes for the day, a big step.
With most banks, one is all they use, so I would have been home free. Industrial Federal Bank uses 5, so having just 1 out of 5 is long odds. With 2 out of 5, I'd have a much better chance of getting through the next act of this little drama.
I love that part about I didn't say B, I said E. When it works, it's beautiful. And it works most of the time.
Getting a third one would have been even better. I've actually managed to get 3 on a single call. B, D, and E sound so much alike that you can claim they misunderstood you again. But you have to be talking to somebody who's a real pushover. This man wasn't. I'd go with 2. The day codes would be my trump.